I am the good shepherd, but are you a good shepherd? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends, I'd like to share a few thoughts I already shared with many of you on the occasion of our 10th anniversary of the annual Legacy Gala a few days ago. A few thoughts which also seem appropriate today as we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday. Although we all know that it's quite traditional normally to hear about priestly vocations on this Good Shepherd Sunday, I'd like to take a different approach today and consider with you first the church as the sheepfold of the Lord, where the flock can be spiritually fed and receive spiritual care and protection against the many ferocious wolves going around desperately trying to attack whoever makes the mistake of abandoning the rest of the flock. Second, we want to consider not only Christ, of course, as the Good Shepherd, but primarily all human fathers, dads, called also to be good shepherds for their families. An essential characteristic for the renewal of Catholic families, of Catholic culture. Catholic culture, which is a nursery of good and holy vocations. History shows that the family was strong and united, that education was successful, that moral life was righteous and well-balanced, that vocations were numerous and holy, that marriages were holy, solid, and faithful, when the heart of Catholic life, that is the Church, not only as the mystical body of Christ, but also the Church building itself, this sacred edifice, when the Church took the very first place in everyone's life, proudly erected in the middle of the town, proud trophy of the sacrifices of countless generations, its sacred bells consecrated by the hands of the bishop, ringing across fields and valleys, creeks and hills, calling all men of goodwill to prayer. Catholic culture, with its many facets, was prominent, was strong, when the Church was for all a beacon of hope, a tower of light, and a light shining even in the darkness of a world plagued with war, sufferings of all kind. A sacred building like this magnificent church shrine, a church, a sacred building, is not just another building in the architectural landscape of our modern cities. Still today, its consecration transforms it into a powerful channel of grace, into a bridge between men and God, a place where the infinite meets the finite, the temporal meets the eternal, the defiled and profane meets the divine and sacred. Who, in passing the threshold of those doors, cannot but experience in a way or another the supernatural presence, whether you're Catholic, agnostic, atheist, you name it, one cannot but admit that something here elevates man's most inner faculties beyond anything that we can comprehend. Not only because beauty, as we see here, beauty with proportion, the colors, the shapes, everything expresses beauty. Not only because beauty is the reflection of truth, beauty is the bright radiance of truth, and a truth for which we have been made, a truth to which we tend, but also because the Church is truly the sheepfold which the Divine Shepherd intended for us to have from all eternity. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, I am the good shepherd. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And contrary to what many Protestant sects believe, the church building is not simply a place of gathering where one enjoys the company of other fellow believers for a few hours before going back into the crazy noise of a busy life. The church is not a place where one can simply listen to some encouraging words and learn more about the Bible, God's Word. No, the church is, as we say as Catholic in the Mass of dedication of a church, this terribilis locus, this terrible place, awesome, frightening, terrible place, where again, the created encounters the divine, and humbled by this encounter, begs God to remove from our heart and soul all unworthiness, and to receive from Him, already here, a foretaste of the eternal happiness to come. So in this sheepfold, in this church, God, according to the very laws of nature, intended that many partake in that role of shepherd. Not only in the person of the priest, of course, and other Christ, Alter Christus, but also in the person of the father of each human family. Yes, dear fathers, dear dads, you have been called to be the pastor bonus of your flock. Dear wives, for once, correct your husband on that specific subject. Remind them that they have been called to be also pastor bonus, good shepherds. Not just shepherds, but good shepherds. St. Paul many times draws the parallel between the love of Christ for his church and the love of husband for his wife, and by extension, love of the husband, the father for his family. St. Paul associates in the order of nature, the order of natural marriage and family, the person of Christ with the husband, head of the family, good shepherd of his flock. And so once fed in the church with the graces of the sacraments, you are called to return to your flock, to your home, strengthened and reinvigorated, and there to strive to become, in return, good shepherds, keeping the flock committed to your care from poison pastures, and to preserve it from any harm. To you, dear fathers, dear dads, is entrusted the tremendous responsibility to bring into your homes the treasures of the faith, which you receive primarily in the church and in its sacraments. Unfortunately for you, this responsibility cannot fall on your wife. One has to be in charge. One has to be responsible. Every human society will agree that it needs a head, a share agreement, a 50-50 agreement, as co-managers will always fail. When the choice is deadlocked, one has to make the call. One cannot drive a car through a maze of traffic or fly an airplane with both the pilot and co-pilot having equal power, equal responsibility, because there will be a time when one will veer to the right when the other veers to the left, as it probably already happens when you try driving together. One has to remain in control. One has to make the call. One has to be accountable. As Christ is the head of the church, so are you, husbands and fathers, heads of your family. And I think Pius the 9th or 11th has this beautiful image as the wife being the heart of the family. Both are essential to the health of the entire body. The head being the husband, the heart being the wife. And here, an important point. Although piety and love for prayer, love for religion, are definitely more predominantly feminine traits, these practices still fall directly under your authority, dear fathers. It is more natural for the mother to come up with the initiative for prayer, for religion, for the cult, the service of God. It comes more naturally for ladies. Men are more discreet, more reserved about their spiritual life. However, this responsibility also falls on you, dear fathers. And so your example in these domains will certainly be much more powerful, much more impactful in a positive way on the rest of the family when coming directly from you rather than from your wife. So as we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday, it is also of my duty to remind you that in the process of restoring Catholic culture in your homes, starting with the church itself, as we said, as the heart of Christian life, but from there, from the cultus, the cult, the worship of God, our duty of religion towards God, from the church, then Catholic culture can then diffuse itself in all spheres of social life, starting with your family, with your home. In the process of restoring Catholic culture, it is inevitable to restore at the same time true fatherhood. And if we see the damage of feminism today, it's because fathers are not fathers anymore. Because at the root of this problem, fatherhood has been affected. Since we all agree that whenever the head is sick, the entire body also suffers. So restoring true fatherhood implies that each father models his life on the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. Not a dictator, but a Good Shepherd. It is in the home and under the loving and compassionate authority of the father that good young men, good boys, can be formed. Men who are courageous, generous, zealous, men who are truly men, magnanimous, but also humble, not overly sensitive and effeminate, but men who are also intelligent and studious. Grace does not destroy nature, does not put nature aside and create some kind of an other being in us. No, grace elevates nature. It needs nature, that raw material. So let's make sure then that this natural raw material, as I call it, we offer to grace, be well-rounded, well-shaped, well-equipped before facing the stormy seas of the world. Of course, the church is certainly the very first source and center of all graces. But after the church, from there into the family, grace will penetrate. It is primarily in the family and through the authority of the father that children shall receive that well-rounded education, preparing their souls, minds, and bodies, preparing that raw material, perfecting their human nature as a whole, so then grace can truly elevate and sanctify them. So it is essential when dreaming, thinking, praying about holy priests, vocations to the priesthood or religious life, it is essential that we begin by forming good men, period. Good, healthy, mentally, physically, spiritually, men. Good young ladies before forming priests, oblates, brothers, or religious sisters. And my dear friends, let's not deceive ourselves. Young generations today are already wounded before they even leave the house to begin their own lives. Yes, even in many good traditional Catholic families, the extent of the damage caused by pornography, by drugs, alcohol, or many forms of mental and social disorders, whether severe or more subtle, the extent of the damage today is often beyond what you could imagine as parents. And beyond what we would have imagined 30, 20, or even 10 years ago. So it is critical and a matter of life or death for Catholic culture that fathers take that responsibility of being the head of the family at all levels of family life, whether moral, spiritual, social, ethical, etc., that they take their responsibility more seriously than ever, because our times today require it. The task is difficult. The task is arduous. But if God, in His eternal wisdom, wills from all eternity that you be fathers here and now today, He also willed from all eternity that sufficient graces be accessible for you. If you only ask for them every day on your knees, so that you may fulfill this task well and successfully. So lift up your hearts, keep your spirit up, under the protection and guidance of our patron Saint Joseph, head and protector of the Holy Family, you shall not fail in the task and vocation entrusted to you. I am the Good Shepherd, but are you a Good Shepherd? I am the Good Shepherd, conforming our lives to His life, conforming our hearts to His heart, meek and humble, we shall also one day receive in an eternal Alleluia His consoling words, "Good and faithful servant, you were also a good shepherd. Enter into the joy of your Lord and Master. Amen. Alleluia." In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.